Hare Krishna. So, ninth chapter. Who took the class yesterday? Tarangdarshan Prabhu. Yeah. He covered up to verse 32nd. Right, so the fruits of love of Godhead are being described. Right? And just to tell you a small humorous story to begin with. Right, this verse, 28th verse, I'm just, it's already covered, but going little back. त्रिजगते यत आचे धन रत्नमनी एक फलेरा मूल्य करी तहा नहीं गनी. Right, so this he said these fruits were so nectarian, right, the fruits of love of Krishna were so nectarian that they were very costly, you know, like all the best quality fruits are exported from India and they are sold at very high price, right? So, but however, although they were very precious, juicy fruits, for how much did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sell it for?
Free,
right? He gave it for free. But if someone says, you know, I don't take things for free, you know. Apan koi cheez free nahi leta hai, you know, I will pay for it. He said, oh, you want to pay? Tri jagat yat ache dhan ratna mani. He said, you bring all the wealth of all the worlds, three worlds, you will not be able to buy one fruit. Where will you pray from, you know? Like there was a politician in India, when some Japanese Toyota car manufacturers came, they came to take permission for setting up their plant in somewhere in north. And they met the minister for industrial development and all that. Said, we want to set up this plant, etc. And here is our car, Toyota. You know, just this will be the car which we'll be making. And they gave him the key. This is for you, you know. He said, well, he said, no, 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 nothing for free. I don't take things for free. Then they said, okay, you know, you can pay 1 rupee for this car. He took out 2 rupees. He said, two cars, sir. You know, I'm paying for two, you know. So like that. So he, that's... there are people who don't take things for free, you know. Then what will you pay for? So here the fruits are so costly that actual price no one can pay. Right? If someone feels he can pay something, it's just like paying 1 rupee. Right? So, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually is a fact actually. This is an important verse. Sometimes devotees feel we came to Krishna consciousness probably, you know, we got Krishna consciousness because, you know, we had some inclination, we had little samskara, you know, from the childhood. And there was always, you know, some inquisitiveness within my heart, you know. I was searching for, actually, no, these things are all like paying 1 rupee, you know, actually for a luxury car. The fact. Because Krishna consciousness is so exclusive, it's so valuable that we can't earn it. We can't earn it actually, right? So we may have some inclination, this and that, whatever. But actually, the only reason why we have got Krishna consciousness is the mercy of the devotees, right? So the Lord says, this is a chapter actually, where it is saying that who are the persons who distributed this fruit? Shaka Rupan Bhakta Ganan. Krishna Prema Phala Pradhan. These devotees of the Lord are like the branches. These branches give the fruits. Right? So the trunk doesn't give the fruit. The roots doesn't give the fruit. The fruit of the love of God are distributed by the branches. Usually if you see. Right? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he himself also distributed the fruit, but primarily he requested his devotees to distribute the fruits. Right? So we know that the roots and the trunk of the tree, they are very important. But fruits are grown on the branches. Right? So therefore, the fruits of love for Krishna are distributed by the devotees of the Lord. Therefore, it is their mercy alone, actually, we should know that. None of our qualification, but it is the mercy of the devotees alone by which we get the opportunity to taste these fruits. Right? So that's one of the important points of this chapter and the next chapter also. Okay, so we'll continue from text 33. Okay, we can start from 32, just continuity. Only done up to 32 yesterday, right? We'll recite it again. Alaukik vriksha kare sarvendriya karma sthavar hai adhare jangamera dharma.
Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves.
Okay, but this is not ordinary tree. Actually, all parts of the tree can actually distribute. There is an example also, fig tree example was given. Everywhere there are fruits. Right? Right. Odumbar, fig tree. You have seen odumbar? There are one or two odumbar trees here in the farm also. Near the backup room, near the new backup room. People sometimes feel this is another temple. Here the backup room is a... So there is a odumbar tree, there is a fig tree. Right? So this tree is not ordinary, every part of the tree actually yield fruits. Right? But the principle remains, primarily the fruits were distributed by the branches, which are the devotees of the Lord. Right? However, this tree also said this tree actually moves. Sthavar hai ya dhare janga mera dharma. So therefore this is alaukik. Alaukik means not of this world. Alaukik. Laukik is worldly. This is other world. This is not of this world. Some other world. From the spiritual world. Evriksha rang hai sab sachetan. बाड़िया व्यापीला सबे सकल भुवन.
All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow, they spread all over the world.
एकला माला कार्यामी कहाँ कहाँ यब. एकला वकट फल पाड़िया विलब.
I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute?
Okay, so Lord Prabhupada very nicely says in the purport, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he laments. You know, this is not ordinary lamentation. This is Lord is this kind of transcendental sentiment. How can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruits and distribute it all over the world? This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of the time, place or situation. Okay, so Prabhupada compares fruit to Hare Krishna Mahamantra, right? So actually the holy name of the Lord is we begin our Krishna consciousness by chanting the holy name of the Lord, right? And this is, we say, hearing and chanting is like watering the root of the tree, also we sometimes say, right? So getting the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna is like receiving the seed. Then Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting is like also watering the seed. And Hare Krishna Mahamantra is also food of fruit also. Right? So this is a fact. Right? That's what he is saying, that actually this is alaukik, is not of this world. Right? Like that. So Prabhupada says, when this Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be distributed, it is synonymous with the distributing the fruits of love of Krishna. Ekala uthaya dite hai parishram, keha pai keha na pai rahe mane bhram, atevo ami agya dilu sabakare, yaha taha prema phal deha yare tare.
It would certainly be very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. Therefore I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere.
So Lord is saying, you know, for one person to distribute will be very laborious. High parishram, and then I will not know who has received, who has not. You know, one person when he distributes the fruits, and so many people come together. You know, sometimes we distribute some toffees to children in Vrindavan. You know, and 15-20 of them come together. You know. And then you give one, but then they say, I haven't got, you know, all 20 hands are always up. You know, therefore, keha pai na keha na pai, hai mane bhram, kisko mila, kisko nahi mila, you know. And then suddenly someone snatches the whole packet itself and they run away. Right, so that is, so Lord is saying, how can I distribute alone? Who has received, who has not be able to find it out. Therefore, I order, right? So here is Mahaprabhu's order. Et eva ami agya. I order every man within this universe, right? Actually, Mahaprabhu is giving this order to all the branches and sub-branches, all his devotees. But Prabhupada extends that order actually, right? I order every man within this universe, you know, to accept this Krishna consciousness and distribute it everywhere. Right? Okay, so the purport is quite interesting. Prabhupada quotes Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Ene chi aushadi maya nashivara lagi hari nam maha mantra lo tumi magi. Prabhupada says, and then, towards the last few lines of the purport, a person who is actually a follower of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur must immediately accept the request of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by offering respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and thus beg from him the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If one is fortunate enough to beg from the Lord this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, his life is successful. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur two times he says, go and beg this Mahamantra from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hari Nama Mahamantra Lo Tumi Magi. Go and beg. Again in the next verse, Sai Hari Nama Mantra Laiya Magiya. Please go and beg. You say, hey, wait. You said he is distributing freely. You know, Lord is distributing all this freely and now you're saying going and beg. What is this? How do you reconcile the two things? Yes. Beg for the mercy to distribute to others. Okay. For realizing. Yes.
He is in the intoxicated state. So he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
So he is giving to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, but to come in front of him is the point, I think.
Okay.
Because he will say, I think I can miss if I individually give to everyone.
Okay, yeah. Right, you all have a point, right? So, look, Shyamananda Prabhu was yesterday saying, he said, the devotees are by nature forgiving. But it doesn't mean you demand forgiveness. You still beg forgiveness. Right? Your devotees are by nature, they are forgiving. But it doesn't imply that you demand forgiveness. On your part, one should beg forgiveness. Right? So therefore, Lord is distributing it freely. Right? That is his nature. But our nature should be to beg from him. Right? So it is on our part now. Like that. Right? And also we actually beg that we can take advantage of this opportunity. Right? We can take this Hare Krishna Mahamantra seriously. Like that. But this is our attitude. Even though Lord is giving freely, we must go in a mood of a beggar. Right? Desperate. Okay, so the Lord continues. 37. Ekala mala karayami kat phal khab. Nadiya vai phal arki karib.
I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat?
Okay, so Prabhupada says the fruits, the beginning, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu produced so many fruits of devotional service that they must be distributed all over the world, right? They are innumerable fruits. And you have, if you check out, you know, you have said, look, what is the stock currently? You know, so there are 1,000 petis of fruits, you know. And now you start distributing. Said, okay, 500 distributed, you know, 500 boxes of Gita distributed. What is the stock now? 2,000 or double. So that's the nature of this. It's already been described actually, right? As they distributed, right, as they were trying to finish off, the stock increased. What remained behind increased. It became double. Right? So therefore, these fruits are so innumerable, Prabhupada is saying. And actually, no one can, there is no deficit of supply. Right? There is no deficit of supply. Deficit is in people's demand or, you know, people's interest to have it. And deficit is there in people who are going to distribute it. Right? But the supply is innumerable by the mercy of the Lord. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada quotes this verse by Rupa Goswami. This is Adi Leela, 1 point. Anarpicharim Charat. Which verse is this? What are the 14th verses? Adi Leela, 1.4. Anarpicharim Charat Karuna Avatirna Kalo. Just check, it is 1.4. Right? Yeah, 1.4, where the external reasons, right? It's Ashirvad also, but there is external reasons also for Mahaprabhu's appearance. So, Rupa Goswami is saying, Anarpi Charim Charyat, this kinds of pure, fresh, juicy, organic fruits were never distributed before. Right? No one has ever tasted such fruits. You know, anarpit, never such fruit distribution had taken place. You know, so Mahaprabhu, therefore, samarpit, Mahaprabhu is distributing these fruits, which can actually, you know, which are filled with the highest rasa, unnat ujjwal rasam, so bhakti shriyam. Therefore, the Lord is the most magnanimous person. Lord is the most magnanimous. So Prabhupada says, there were many previous incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but none were so generous, kind and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, text 38. Atma Ichchamrite Vriksha Sinchi Nirantar. Tahateya Sankhya Phala Vrikshera Upar.
By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead.
Okay, so this is a very important verse again. Atma Icha Amrit Vriksh Sinchi Nirantar. This tree of this eternal tree of love of Krishna, which is producing fruits or love of Krishna, is being nourished by the nectarian waters of Lord's will. Right? Atma Icha Amrit. So there is a will of the Lord that is like the nectarian water which is nourishing this tree, and therefore it is producing innumerable fruits of love for Krishna. Right? So this is especially this verse is very important. Prabhupada says God is unlimited and his desires are also unlimited. This example of unlimited fruits is factually appropriate even within the material context. For with the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there can be enough fruits, grains and other foodstuffs produced. So Prabhupada points it out, he continues in the middle of the purport, the production of fruits and flowers, whether it is the fruits and flower in this material world, or the fruits of love for Krishna. The production of fruits and flowers depends not upon our will, but upon the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. If He is pleased, He can supply enough fruits, flowers, etc. Right? So one should know that actually it is as long as the Lord is pleased and He is supplying the water to this tree, Atma Icha Amrit Vriksh, since the Lord is nourishing this tree, there will be innumerable fruits. Right? As soon as the Lord doesn't desire, if His will is not there, then no amount of our efforts will be able to produce even one single fruit. right? Therefore, the most important thing actually is the will of the Lord. Right? It is the will of the Lord. So, that's one of the main points of teaching of Bhishma Dev. If you see, Bhishma Dev simply tells them, he said, look, you all have dharma with you, you know, you have the strength of religious principles. You all have, Bhishma Dev is telling the Pandavas, you have Bhima, right? Bhima is so powerful, you have the strength of physical power with you. And you have Arjuna, you have the strength of all the skills with you. And you have the Supreme Lord on your side, right? Tato vipat, still reverses happened in your life. Therefore, we simply understand, he says, this is the will of the Lord. So he is telling Yudhishthira Maharaj, just accept this is the will of the Lord. Right? You, and then another interesting example is, if you see Bhishma Dev's own life, it is filled with many, many, many painful and agonizing situations. You know, by the will of the Lord, he had to take the side of adharma. By the will of the Lord, he had to even see Draupadi robed in front of him. Actually, it is disclosed. It is by the will of the Lord, he was put in very, very adverse circumstances. But then, following the will of the Lord, he's saying, actually, we all cannot do anything but follow the will of the Lord. You know, we somehow, the devotees, Bhishma Dev says, we have to align our will with Lord's will. You know, that's the way of executing devotional service. We align our will with the Lord's will. So Bhishma Dev, although he was put under very, very awkward and agonizing circumstances for which he may be criticized by many historians or other people, but then he says, look, now by the will of the Lord he has come to me. By his will, I am speaking dharma in front of all the compilers of dharma. All the compilers of dharma were there. From all over the universe, all the sages came. Saying, by his will, I am speaking dharma. You know, I am Kshatriya lying down. And here are the compilers of dharma. I am speaking dharma in front of them, by his will. And by his will, I have come. You know, he has come to me now. So therefore, that's the will of the Lord. That is something very supreme. Right? So, but in our case, actually therefore every devotee has to align his will with the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord is expressed actually by the will of Srila Prabhupada. Right? So we have to, the whole point is that every devotee has to understand the desire, the will of Prabhupada. How does he wants us to serve? Right? It's very clear if you read the books. His will is very clear actually. There are no ambiguities. You know, in the books, in the purpose of Prabhupada, it's very clear how he wants us to conduct ourselves. So if we are aligned with the will of the Lord, right? The will of Lord is there, will of Prabhupada is there, then there is a nourishment and there will be innumerable fruits. Right? Otherwise, there will not be. Right? Yes.
How do you understand that this is the will of the Lord? Something happened good.
So my question is that how we can understand that if anything is happening in our life, that is the will of the Lord. For example, suppose something happens good. So we'll think, oh, this is the will of the Lord. But that can also lead us to the a wrong way.
Yes, so Bhishma Dev only says, he says, look, a person who is Vipra Dharma Achyutashraya, a person who has taken shelter of the devotees of the Lord, first of all, that means he is conducting his life as per, in the association of the devotees, as per their guidance, Vipra. dharma as per the scriptural regulations. He's not violating the scriptures, he's not violating the instruction of the devotees, and he is worshipping the Supreme Lord. If a person is situated in this way, you know, vipra dharma achyuta ashray, has taken shelter, and still reverses come in his life, he should accept all those reverses as the will of the Lord. That this is the Lord's will and I have to align myself. Right? So therefore, Bhishmadev always remained sheltered by dharma. But there were so many reverses. Even the Pandavas, there were always so many reverses. But they, at no point of time they gave up the ashraya of vipra dharma and achyut. Therefore, all the reverses are to be taken as will of the Lord. And he said, there is no other way other than to align with the will of the Lord. Right? That's the way of executing devotional service. To accept the will of the Lord, right? And go ahead with that. Right? So therefore, when the will of the Lord is there, in this way actually, there are innumerable fruits are produced by that will. Right? If a person accepts that will in his life, then ultimately, he said, sometimes the Lord's will can be a little scary, you know, sometimes. But its sweetness will be revealed in due course of time. You know. So therefore, when the fruits of, you know, his will be produced, then its sweetness will be revealed. Right? But this is a very important point, you know, that how... This point was being talked by Dvamra Swami Maharaj also. You know, when he gave a Bhagavatam class here, he said, the debate is not about what is right and what is wrong. He said, what is the will of the Lord? That has to be found. How do we act, you know? Both situations, sometimes we are at a junction where it's not this is dharma, dharma. Both are dharma, dharma only. You know, both will be dharma path. But he said, what is the will of the Lord? That has to be found. Right? That has to be found. So that will of the Lord actually is revealed a person who has taken complete shelter of vipra dharma achyuta ashraya. When we are sheltered by the, we are actually understanding the scriptures in the association of Vaishnavas, serving them and taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. By these three, then under their shelter, the will of the Lord is revealed. Vipra dharma achyuta ashraya. So that will of the Lord, by accepting that will of the Lord, then that actually will nourishes our devotional creeper. Right? That's the point. Okay, we go to text 39. Ateva sab phal dehayare tare khaiyah ukalok ajar amare.
Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death.
Okay. So, a person who will eat these fruits, he will become ajar and amar. Right? So, in this world, you know, Bhagavatam actually denies that actually there is no happiness in this world, right? Why? Because kim sukham marte dharmina, right? We had discussed. The 11th canto verse, right? Kim sukham marte dharmina. What is the? I am not exactly recalling. So, something like that. Right? He said, what happiness in this world of marte dharmina? Said, a person is in prison, waiting to be executed. Kim sukham? What happiness? You know, he's in the prison and the death sentence already passed. He's only waiting to be hanged. Right? Kim sukham? You know, so that's a very important point. He said, Prabhupada would always say, you know, he said, look, happiness? Birth, old age, reason, death sentence has already been issued, you know, and you are in the prison. What happiness you are talking of, sir? Right? So therefore, That point Prabhupada would use so many times, you know. What happiness when there is a death sentence already issued. So, but however, eating these fruits, one will be freed from old age and death, both, right? That means that's the real, you know, that's the beginning of happiness in one sense. Otherwise, as long as one is in the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death, there is no factual happiness. Right? From Bhagavatam perspective, there is no factual happiness. And another nice point here is, those who eat these fruits, while in this world also, they will not experience old age. That means what? They will never experience dejection, loss of enthusiasm, depression. Right? They will remain always in youthful spirits, ever fresh, ever enthusiastic. Right? Those who eat these fruits of which have been brought by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So Prabhupada says in towards the last, the sixth or probably seventh or eighth last from the end of the purport. Of course, Prabhupada says, so actually these fruits should be distributed to one and all. But then he says, of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement. But if even a small number of human beings take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, including trees, animals, and other lower species will be benefited. Right? So, just like this is a very important point actually. Sometimes we feel, you know, that we are chanting and dancing here, we are in, you know, greatly happy, but outside, you know, people, you know, they are suffering a lot. Of course, we have a duty to go and give them. But actually, even, so one may say, you know, I will just spend my whole life, you know, giving to. But even if a person is just performing devotional service among the association of devotees, that performance is also itself is beneficial to the whole world. It is mentioned in the context of the gopis of Vrindavan. They were singing of Krishna's glories. Yasam hari kathod gitam punati bhuvana trayam. Their chanting of the names of the Lord, their singing of the Lord's glories is purifying all the three worlds. Right? They are at one place, but their devotional service is so potent that it purifies all the three worlds. Right? So therefore, even performing devotional service, coming together and just doing chanting and dancing the holy name of the Lord, the vibration spreads. Just like Hiranyakashipu, by his tapasya, he was tormenting the three worlds from one place. Right? Everyone felt the heat. Similarly, the performance of pure devotional service, even from one place, it spreads its vibrations. It benefits all living entities actually. Right? So therefore, one should not have material calculation. Rather, Bhagavatam perspective is actually that as the forces of Kali Yuga increase, in proportion devotees should increase their devotional service. It's mentioned actually, you know, that when the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was Navdeep Leela, before Lord's appearance, they saw that how everyone was busy in sense gratification, not performing devotional service. They intensified their bhakti actually in response. They intensified their bhakti in response, right? So, Kali kale nama rupe Krishna avatar nama haite hai sarva jagat nishtar, right? So, in this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord has descended in the form of Krishna consciousness movement, right? Once there was one lady, you know, she is known in the temple for asking, you know, very a question, tangential questions, you know, which you know, kind of. So somehow this lady once asked a question. I was asked to give Sunday feast, and I didn't know that. So when this lady raised the hand, the sound system person said, no, don't take any question, just start the kirtan, you know, there's some tangential question is going to come. But before that only, you know, before he indicated, I had only said, okay, yes, you know, I had already said like that. So the mic was already, you know, kind of on the way, so there was no coming back, you know. So this lady said, you know, he said, look, Krishna killed so many devotees, so many demons, you know, Krishna killed so many demons, and you devotees of the Lord, you know, you are not killing the demons. There are so many demons who have, you know, have come in Kali Yuga again. As devotees, you have to follow in the footsteps of killing all the demons, you know, as devotees of Krishna. So I said, look, you know, we will leave Krishna's job in his hand only, because Krishna is still present. So therefore, I quoted this verse, you know, somehow it came to my mind. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Right? So I said, look, Krishna is present and he will continue to do his job. We will simply chant his names. Right? So then they switched off the mic. Then I also understood nothing going beyond, you know. To stop the further argument, this and that. They put it off. I said, we'll have kirtan now, you know, logically. We will continue to sing his holy name. Krishna will continue to perform his task. Right? So like that. So that was the one small humorous. It's a fact, actually. You know, we sometimes feel, you know, we have to have many agitations. We have to sign many petitions also, right? That needful has to be done. But actually, the main faith we should have, actually, in order to curb the forces of Kali Yuga, we have to invoke the presence of the Lord, right? We have to have faith actually in these verses, that the Lord's holy name will uproot, you know, it will check the increasing forces of Kali Yuga. Right? Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. While we have to address the immediate, you know, whatever needs to be done and all that, but the faith should be. So this is an important point. We were recently again, I was thinking about this, and we discussed also once. There is an immediate cause of any incident, and there is a remote cause, which is also known as root cause. In this world, people say, what is the root cause? That root cause is what? Remote cause. It's a cause within this world only, and there is an ultimate cause of everything. Unless we see all the three causes, our perception will be not complete, actually. Behind anything that happens, we have to see what is the immediate cause, address it. What is the root cause, which is the remote cause, and take some preventive action. And also see ultimate cause, right? Which is actually the hand of the Lord in everything that happens, the ultimate cause. Without seeing that, our immediate and immediate solution and our remote solution, both will actually be incomplete and imperfect without seeing the ultimate cause and addressing that solution also. Very nice example was given by a devotee, what is his name, who gave a class on last Sunday, Haridev Prabhu gave a Bhagavatam class. He mentioned one pastime of Prabhupada. He said, some devotee complained to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, there is so much uncleanliness in the temple, right? There is so much uncleanliness. He says, there are so many rats in the ashram, you know, we can't stay here. Prabhupada said, you're not chanting properly. He said, what is this, you know? First of all, there are so many rats, we left everything behind, and, you know, and Prabhupada saying, not chanting properly. So, there are rats because he explained that Prabhupada meant you are, you know, scattering prasadam here and there, you know, making the plate and not eating and lying at one place, you know, and the cover of the plate lying at another place. So rats will come, you know, when there is uncleanliness. And why there is uncleanliness, external as well as, you know, because your chanting is not good. If your chanting is good, you will be clean automatically, internally and externally. So the point is seeing all the three causes. You know, behind any situation, you see what is the immediate cause. You know, and then what immediate cause, you know, a plate is lying over here. What is the remote cause? You know, someone made the plate and, you know, etc. and did not turned up, he didn't call. So there's some policies to be made. You know, whenever we want to make a policy, we want to find out the root cause. And then from the root cause comes the policy. Immediate cause, immediate solution is hatao isko yahan se, plate ko. But we try to find out the root cause to make some policy. You know, this is not allowed. Abhi ashram mein koi plate nahi banke rahega. You know, this kind of remote cause, what led to this. But the ultimate cause is, Prabhupada saying, devotee is not chanting properly. You know, therefore there is uncleanliness and therefore there is, you see all the three. So actually, this is very important actually. Any problem, unless one can find and address the ultimate cause, the solution for immediate and the remote cause, that solution is highly incomplete and imperfect. Therefore, every time we need to have a vision to see the... So therefore, if you see, Prabhupada didn't find out the immediate and the root cause, because anyone can figure it out, you know. So often we see the acharyas, they point out the ultimate cause more many times, because that we fail to see. What is the ultimate cause of the problem? Right? Just like once there was one brahmachari was telling other brahmachari, you know, how you should go and present Krishna consciousness, how you should speak, presentation skill. Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and he said, not by training one can preach Krishna consciousness. One who is inclined to serve can speak about Krishna. He mentioned that. He said, give him the inclination to serve Krishna. You know, one who is inclined to serve, he can speak about Krishna. Giving the ultimate, that, you know, okay, you know, not denying that immediately a person may need some training, a person may need, you know, certain sharing the experience of a senior preacher, how to preach effectively. So there are immediate and the root things can be addressed. But many times the acharyas address the ultimate cause to tell this immediate cause are actually very secondary. There, without ultimate cause, these immediate solutions are actually as good as no solution. Fact. Right? So therefore, the ultimate cause has to be seen in every condition actually. That's the whole point. So, therefore here Prabhupada, is saying that even if a small number of human beings take Krishna consciousness seriously, they will contribute to the ultimate solution of humanity. This is the point Prabhupada is making. There are so many problems, right, in this world, no doubt, it has to be addressed that, you know, at every level, you know, kind of what is the immediate thing, society, what needs to be done in society, etc., etc. But Prabhupada is in the purport focusing on the ultimate solution. He said, let some small number of people take Krishna consciousness seriously. Their hearing and chanting, their practice will contribute to the ultimate solution of the problems of this material world. That's the point. Yasam Hari Kathod Gitam Punati Bhuvana Trayam. And Udgitam also means loud chanting, if you see in that verse, and Prabhupada here also says, even if a small number of human beings take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities will be benefited. Right? Udgitam, the loud calling of Krishna. One can loudly call Krishna even without moving the lips. one devotee was shared, you know, sometimes like there are places where you can't physically loudly call due to some reasons, you know. But someone shared, right? Vrajvihari Prabhu shared that. He was giving a class on Nityananda Trayodashi.
Nityanand, but if anyone is outside, call Nityanand, but don't move your lips.
He said even loud calling is possible even without moving the lips. He mentioned, if there is opportunity to move the lips, one should surely move. Right? Like that. Okay, we go to text 40. Jagat vyapi amur habe punya khyati. Sukhi haiya loka mur gai beka kirti.
If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure.
Okay, so Lord said, if these fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere. Mor habe punna khyati. And the people will become happy and they will sing of my name with great pleasure. And then Prabhupada says, this prediction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now actually coming to pass. And toward the end, his prediction is now factually being fulfilled, and those who are sober and conscientious are appreciating the value of this great moment. Okay, now this is the very famous verse, right, which you may have heard, already heard 1,000 times. 41. Bharat Bhumi Tehaila Manushya Janmayar. Janma Sartha Kari Kar Par Upakar.
One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people.
So, Bharat Bhumi Te Haila Manushya Janmayar. So one who has taken birth in the land of India, Prabhupada says. Usually, Bharatvarsha is geographically much broader, right? In the study of fifth canto, you know, now 9 varshas are there. So Bharatvarsha, practically the whole earth is Bharatvarsha, right? So, but here, because the culture that is there in India only, that culture of original Bharatvarsha remained in India, so culturally, Bharatvarsha refers to India now, not geographically, actually. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada translates as India. So those who have taken birth in the land of Bharatvarsha, they should make their life successful and also benefit others. And Prabhupada says, the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressed in this very important verse. Although he was born in Bengal, and Bengalis therefore have a special duty, right? Even among the Bharat Varsha, the Bengalis have a special duty. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is addressing not only Bengalis, but all the inhabitants of India. It is in the land of India that actual human civilization can be developed. Right? So Prabhupada just points out in the second paragraph, fifth line, Prabhupada says a person who takes birth in India, he automatically receives the basic principles of spiritual life. So he receives a good amount of his spiritual foundation, you know. For 99.9% of Indian people, even simple village farmers and others who are neither educated nor sophisticated, believe in the transmigration of the soul, believe in the past and future lives, believe in God, and naturally want to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representative. These ideas are the natural inheritance of a person born in India. And Prabhupada says, in the middle somewhere, the second half of the purport, we have actual experience of this. This is quite interesting. Whenever the Krishna consciousness movement hold a Sankirtan festival in a big city like Calcutta, Bombay, Madras, Ahmedabad or Hyderabad, thousands of people come to hear. Sometimes we speak in English, but even though most people do not understand English, they nevertheless come to hear us. Even when imitation incarnation of Godhead speak, people gather in thousands. For everyone who is born in the land of India has a natural spiritual inclination and is taught the basic principle of spiritual life. They merely need to be little more educated in the Vedic principles. Little more educated word Prabhupada uses. So Prabhupada in one sense here sees the positive aspect that even imitation incarnation speaks, still people come in thousand and they have spiritual inclination, you know. Prabhupada appreciates that point also. And then in the fourth paragraph, Prabhupada says, the beginning, the practical effect of our spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is that now the most degraded debauchees are becoming the most elevated saints. Right? And Prabhupada says, this is only one Indian's humble service to the world. If all the Indians had taken to this path as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, India would have given a unique gift to the world and thus India would have been glorified. One interesting thing is was pointed by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He said actually Prabhupada would condemn, you know, bodily identification. I am Russian, I am American, I am Indian. What is this bodily designation? But now here is using that bodily designation in order to actually incline them towards, in order to kind of boost a person's inclination to serve Krishna. So Prabhupada is, you know, he would say, what is the use of you Americans if you cannot serve Krishna in a wonderful way? You know, so therefore he is arousing that feeling in the Indians, you know. He said if one Indian can do this, and then how much more other Indians can do? So like he is using that body identification to, in order to enthuse actually in the service of Krishna. So anything can be used in the service of Krishna, including bodily identification, right? Although Prabhupada condemns it, but he still uses it. Yeah, Prabhupada is referring to himself. Prabhupada saying, just I try to carry out the order of my spiritual master, this order coming from Lord Chaitanya, and we are seeing that so many degraded devotees are becoming elevated saints. Right? This is only one Indian's humble service to the world. And, you know, this is what we will refer him to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, if you ask Prabhupada, he will say, my Guru Maharaj, I'm referring that Indian to. You know, he will have that mood. Of course, even if you refer himself, there is no question of any pride over there, you know, in that sense. Because Prabhupada is using here, the point Prabhupada is making is, even if Prabhupada is giving his own example, it's also perfect, you know. Prabhupada thinks, this, I tried, Prabhupada would say, you know, I humbly tried and so much came, you know, by the mercy of Guru Maharaj. If so many other people would try, so much more will happen. Right? Go to text 42. Etavajjanma dehinamiha pranairarthair dhiyavacha shreyacharanam sada.
It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words.
Okay, so Mahaprabhu is giving this order and he is He's actually stating that this order is as per the scriptural injunctions also. Right? Well, this is the verse of Bhagavatam, 22nd chapter. Right. Yeah, this is a 2255, 10th canto, 10:22:55. 35. So, etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha deheshu. A person who has taken upon this body, dehinam, This taking up this body will become successful if one can utilize one's pranair, arthair, dhiya, vacha, one's life force, one's wealth, one's intelligence, one's words, in order to perform shreya acharanam sada. Shreya nishreya saya, shreya is to do benefit to others, right? And in the context of Krishna consciousness, it means the ultimate benefit, to do the ultimate benefit to others. So Prabhupada talks of immediate and ultimate good in the purport. There are two kinds of general activities, or welfare activities we can say. Shreyas, or activities which are ultimately beneficial and auspicious, and prayas, or those which are immediately beneficial and auspicious. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in shreyas, shreya acharanam sada. To achieve the ultimate goal of shreyas or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, wealth and word. The second paragraph I am reading. One should engage everything, including his life, wealth and words, not only for himself but for others also. However, unless one is interested in shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach of shreyas for the benefit of others. Right? So therefore, janma sartha kari, you first accept this benefit given by Lord for yourself, and then you help others. Right? So actually, on a spiritual platform, the selfishness generates selflessness, or they are non-different in one sense. If a person is spiritually selfish, he is actually selfless. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Nate vidu swarth gatim hi Vishnu. Swarth means selfishness. People do not know what is their actual selfishness, because their actual selfishness is in practicing Krishna consciousness, and that selfishness actually is true selflessness also. Right? So therefore, on an absolute platform, they are the same. Right? Janma sartha kari kar par upkar. Because by helping others, one is simultaneously benefiting oneself also. So therefore, they are the same. And then Prabhupada says in the third paragraph, this verse cited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu applies to human beings, not to animals. Because Lord has said, Bharat Bhumi Te Haila Manushya Janma. So Prabhupada talks about Manushya Janma in the third paragraph. As indicated in the previous verse by the words Manushya Janma, these injunctions are for human beings. Unfortunately, human beings, although they have the bodies of men, are becoming less than animals in their behavior. So before janma sarthak kari, first become a human being. So people need to be taught actually to become a human being. It's a fact actually. Like India, you can preach to people that make your life perfect and then preach to others. In the West, first you have to spend 10 years to tell them be a human being first. Yes, to bring them to the level of human being will take first 10 years of preaching. Manushya janma. First you realize that you are a human being, then janma sarthak kari, then parupkar. Right? So it's very difficult actually in Western world preaching, because the foundation is not there. Manushya janma itself, First, Mahaprabhu's instruction is to manushyas, you know. Prabhupada is saying men are becoming lower than animals. 43. The similar verse. So all these verses are quoted. Three verses are quoted. There are two verses and third verse is after a few verses. Basically the same theme is following of Shreya or Paropkar. That theme is being discussed over here in text 43. Praninam upakaraya yadveha paratracha karmana manasavacha taddeva matiman bhajet.
By his work, thoughts and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next.
Okay, again the word upkar is being used. Janma sarthak karikar par upkar. And this verse from Vishnu Puran 43 also uses the word upkar. Prani naam upkaraya. Yad eveha paratracha. In this world and in the next world, one who uses one's all the activities of one's, you know, all the faculties of one's body and mind for doing parapkar on all the living entities, tad eva matiman bhajit. So he is actually he's the most intelligent person, and his worship of the Lord is perfect. So like that, prani naam upakaraya. So this is also a beautiful verse. And then again Prabhupada points out, unfortunately people in general do not know what is to take place in the next life, right? So first of all, again, you know, people, you know, what, you can't even talk of shreyas unless people accept the next life. If the philosophy is, you know, this everything will finish with this life, then bhasmi bhutasya dehasya, right? That just beg, borrow, steal, enjoy life, you know, because everything will be finished. That is the philosophy. But shreyas will actually begin when a person accepts next life, right? There is a continuity of life. So Prabhupada therefore points out, because therefore this verse says prani naam upakaraya yad eveha paratracha. That upkar has to take care that a person is benefited in this life and in the next life, right? So upkar can only be done if a person first of all accept he is the next life, without which what upkar you will do to him, right? If there is no understanding of paratracha, the next life, then there is no upkar. Therefore, Prabhupada points out over here that how to prepare oneself for his next life is a common sense and it is a principle of Vedic civilization. But presently, people throughout the world do not believe in next life. So actually, that's what I'm saying. Actually, therefore, to bring a person to believe in the next life takes 10 years. Then you will begin some paropkar. You know, everything finished in this world, you know. So therefore, so much energy will go him to accept this point itself. And then Prabhupada says, you know, in the purport he describes about the horrible condition of human civilization and concludes by saying, this is the horrible condition of modern human society, right? That all the education, that they have no knowledge of the next life. This is a horrible condition. As such, the Krishna consciousness movement is the only hope to direct the attention of intelligent men to a greater benefit in life. Mali manushya mar nahi rajadhan, phal phul diya kari punya uparjan.
I am merely a gardener, have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers that I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life.
Okay, so Lord is saying, look, I don't have much wealth and all that, right? I have simply these fruits and flowers. But it's already been disguised by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami that one fruit cannot be purchased by the wealth of the three worlds. Tri jagate achayat dhan ratna mani. Right? The wealth of all the three worlds cannot purchase one fruit which Lord has brought. Right? But Lord is saying, I don't have much wealth, you know, I have only these fruits. I can only give these fruits. So Prabhupada, taking that mood of Lord, Prabhupada is saying, in performing welfare activities for human society, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as not being very rich, thus indicating that a man need not be rich or opulent to act for the welfare of humanity. Prabhupada says, sometimes rich men are very proud that they can perform beneficial activities for human society, whereas others cannot. A practical example is that when there is a scarcity of food in India on account of meager rainfall, some member of the richer class very proudly distribute foodstuffs, making huge arrangement with the help of government, as if such activities by such people will be benefited. As if merely by such activities people will be benefited. Suppose there were no food grains, how would the rich man distribute food? Right? Again, Prabhupada is taking you to the ultimate, see the ultimate hand of the Lord. What benefit you will do? If there is no blessing of the Lord, if the Lord doesn't produce, you know, then what benefit you will do? Right? If there were no rain, there would be no grain. And these so-called rich men would be unable to distribute grain to the people. Point Prabhupada is making is one doesn't have to be very rich or opulent to do welfare activities for humanity. Right? Or actually giving Krishna consciousness is the highest welfare activity. Having that, you know, that blessings of the Lord, others by those blessings, other benefits will also follow. Right? That's the point being made. The real purpose of life, therefore, is to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that devotional service is so exalted that it is beneficial and auspicious for every man. Text 45. Guru text 4. Maliha yavriksha haila aita ichhate. Sarva pranira upakar hai vriksha haite.
Although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit upon all.
Okay, so Lord says, although I am the gardener, but I want to become the tree. Because the tree is most beneficial. And Prabhupada says, the Lord wanted to become the tree because a tree is said to be the most benevolent living entity. Right? And the following verse again from Bhagavatam, the same 22nd chapter, glorifies the benevolence of the trees. Right? So, we'll read the next verse and we'll discuss the two verses together. Ho esham varam janma sarva prani upajivinam sujanasseva yesham vai vimukhayanti narthinah.
Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like that of great person Elitis. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed.
So Krishna is speaking this verse, right? To whom? Balram ji. Ho esham varam janma. Just see, their life is glorious. Varam janma. Why? Sarva prani upajivinam. These trees are giving upajivinam, the livelihood. These trees are providing livelihood to all living entities. Right? They are just like the great soul, sujanasya. Right? Not durjan, but sujan. They are like those great persons, those benevolent persons. Vimukha yanti narthina. When any person who is in need of something, he approaches a great person, he is not, he doesn't feel dejected. His desires will be fulfilled. Right? Vimukha yanti narthina. He will. So therefore, they are like those great benevolent persons whom, when approached by anyone, no one is dejected by them. Right? So like that. So therefore, trees are compared to those benevolent persons, those magnanimous persons, who give their own self actually. Right? They give every part of their existence to serve. Right? So, but very important point which Prabhupada makes over here is, Prabhupada says that the trees, third line of the purport, the trees are compared to noble kshatriyas because everyone derives all kind of benefits from them. Some people take fruits, other take flowers, other take leaves, other take twigs, and other take the tree itself. You know? Right? But the tree gives, yet the tree gives to everyone without hesitation. Prabhupada then again continues, then he points out, he said, look, the trees are so benevolent, but human beings are debauchees, you know, they are cutting the trees. You know, they should let them, you know, they are anyway benefiting you so much, but they still cut the tree. Prabhupada calls human beings that debauchees, while the trees are the most benevolent. And then Prabhupada says in the third paragraph, fourth line, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that we should be tolerant like trees, and also beneficial like trees, which give everything to the needy persons who come underneath them. So these two qualities of trees, their tolerance and benevolence. They tolerate and they give to others, they serve others, they are benevolent. They are actually very related qualities. For no one can actually effectively serve without being tolerant. Right? In this world, if there is no tolerance, then there cannot be any benevolence also. Anyone who wants to do benefit to others, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, you know, a person who wants to do benefit to others, his path will be beset with millions of thorns. That means he has to walk on a thorny path, tolerating all the thorns. People will not welcome, you know, spread red carpet or throw petals actually in general. You know, but usually in this age of Kali Yuga especially, the path of the Shriyams Bahu Vignani, right? The path of benevolence is beset with millions of thorns. Right? So therefore a person who wants to benefit others, he has to be ready to tolerate a lot and lot and lot of difficulties. The more he can tolerate, the more a person can benefit. Actually, these two qualities go hand in hand. Right? These two qualities go hand in hand. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also said, you know, taru sama sahishnuta vaishnava karibe bhrasane taadane kaake kichu na balibe. First tolerance a devotee should exhibit is when a person is actually spoken harsh words, he should not retaliate. Right? Because in this world, you will feel that firstly, any preacher, you know, many people will speak harshly or harsh words to him. Right? So therefore, first begins with taru sama sahishnuta vaishnava karibe bhrasana tadane kake kichuna balibe. Right? And then Mahaprabhu says that a person continues to serve and even if he doesn't get water, a tree dies without complaining. You know, it's a very high standard. The standard of tolerance of tree is actually very high. So, shuka ya mare tabu kichu na magai. This is the second verse after that. First line I'm not remembering. Taru sama sahishnuta vaishnava karibe. So, if you contemplate upon the tolerance of the tree, right? A tree doesn't ask any for anything, right? A person who comes to cut the tree doesn't ask water from him, although he's thirsty, and give himself to others, right? Even the person, not just that, when a person who is cutting the tree feel the heat of the sun, the tree provides him shade. Now you relax and then you continue to cut me. Just imagine the tolerance of tree, right? How can anyone be more tolerant than tree? Vaishnava has to be more tolerant, that means what? Now you have to give me example of tolerance more than tree. Yes, what is the example of tolerance more than tree? He's more tolerant than tree, how?
Spitting on him when he was going. Actually, Krishna gives example of Avanti Brahman to Uddhava, who exemplify the tolerance and detachment.
Yes. How is more tolerant than tree, I'm saying? Analytically, you have to compare.
Prabhuji, actually...
What is trees, that? The tree cannot tolerate, which Avanti Brahman tolerated.
Prabhuji, trees are actually, you know, they are not have that
no,
developed...
No, the trees in the spiritual world, they are all conscious. Right? They are all chetan. So, the consciously, they also do like that. They have consciousness. We not accept that. So what the tree can't tolerate, the devotee can tolerate. That answer I am looking for you. How the trees, how can a person be more tolerant than a tree? Yes.
But a devotee, he just doesn't have to tolerate, but even be grateful to Lord that he has given a difficulty. And
very good answer. Tree tolerates, a devotee can gratefully, he should tolerate. Right? It's nowhere mentioned that a tree express gratitude. A devotee should have tolerance, at the same time he should be grateful for all the miseries. If a devotee is not getting, you know, anything, whatever he wants, etc., you know, even if he is being cut, you know, kind of, you know, you can't imagine, you know, this, still a devotee remains grateful. Right? That is shown in the example of Haridas Thakur. Right? He was actually gratefully, and not just that, the tree, another two aspects how a Vaishnava is more tolerant than tree. One is he's grateful, even for all the miseries, he tolerates with gratitude. He even prays for a person who is actually tormenting him. He desires his supreme welfare, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, we desire nothing but highest fortune for our worst enemies. Right? So a devotee is more tolerant than a tree in being grateful and in being prayerful. Right?
Also this verse, humbler than a blade of grass, it has some similar purport?
We will probably discuss when it comes. Okay, 47. Eya gya kaila yadi chaitanya malakar param anand paila vriksha parivar. Okay, so Vriksha Parivar, you know, this is all the, we actually belong to this Vriksha Parivar. Prabhupada also say this corn is one of the branch, you know. So, Param Anand Paila, so we should, it's a duty actually of a devotee to feel happy that the Lord, is, to receive this instruction actually. Everyone became happy when the Lord said, you all distribute these fruits, right? Then everyone became greatly happy. Therefore, Prabhupada says, it is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of Sankirtan movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago in Navdvip, be spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. And remember, again Prabhupada points out that this benevolence is only possible if there is tolerance and humility. They are very much connected actually. Right? Without cultivating the verse of Tanad Bishuni Chena, a person cannot effectively do any good to others. Yaya hata hadana kare prema phal. Phala swade mat lok hai la sakal. Mahamadak prema phal peta bhari khaye. Mati la sakal lok hase nache gaye. Keha gada gadi aaye keha tahunkar. Dekhi anandit haiya hase malakar.
The fruit of love of God is so delicious that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. The fruit of love of God distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it and automatically he chants, dances, laughs and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing and laughing and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some of are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure.
Okay, so first of all, Prabhupada says that we can actually experience, you know, that how people we have proposed, we have practical experience of this verse 48. Phalasvade mat lok haila sakal. Right? We have practical experience that anyone who accepts this fruit and sincerely tastes it immediately becomes mad after it and gives up all bad habits. Right? And then Prabhupada again says the statements of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are so practical that anyone can test them. Right. And then again Prabhupada says, commenting upon that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became greatly happy when he saw that people are tasting this fruit. Prabhupada says, this attitude of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important for persons engaged in the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. So, again, Prabhupada gives his personal experience, that how it's a very practical experience. Prabhupada says, in every center of our institution, ISKCON, we have arranged for a love feast every Sunday. And when we actually see people come to our center, chant, dance, take prasadam, become jubilant and purchase books, we know that certainly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always present in such transcendental activities. And he is very pleased and satisfied. And then Prabhupada continued, therefore the members of ISKCON must increase this movement more and more according to the principles that we are presently trying to execute. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thus being pleased, will smilingly glance upon them, bestowing his favor, and the movement will be successful. Right? So Prabhupada is ensuring that following these principles given in this book, one will attract the smile of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Ei malakar khai ei prema phal niravadi mat rahe vivasha vival.
The great gardener Lord Chaitanya personally eats this fruit, and as a result he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered.
Okay, so this is very important verse again. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always also ate these fruits and he remained, you know, mad. Right? So while distributing, we should not miss eating it ourselves. We should not starve ourselves. You know, it's important that a devotee also relishes. Right? Then Prabhupada would say, you know, my books are not only for distributing. Devotees have to read these also, these books. Right? So that's important point. Sarvaloke mat kaila apana saman preme mat loka vina nahi dekhiyan ye purve ninda kaila bali mato yal seho phal khaye nache bale bhal bhal.
With his sankirtan movement, the Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who was not intoxicated by his sankirtan movement. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, "Very good, very good."
Okay, so eating these fruits, they all now started appreciating the Lord. That is mentioned, huh? Ye purve ninda kaila, all those who criticized him. Yeah, matoyal means mad. He said he has gone mad. Earlier he was, you know, sane when he was teaching. Now he has become mad. They called many people in Navdeep who called him. Now he has become mad actually, and is making others also mad. So like that, there are many people who criticize the Lord, Chaitanya Bhagavad describes. And now they said, very good, very good. He is a very good man. Right? Eita kahilu prema phala vitaran. Ebe shuna phala data ye ye shakhagan. Shri Rupa Raghunath Padayaras Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das.
After describing the Lord's distribution of the fruit of love of Godhead, I now wish to describe the different branches of the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrates Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps.
Okay, so if you see this chapter has so many purposes that we discussed that day, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, where Prabhupada, Prabhupada's mood and ambition, you know, is revealed actually. Right? So Prabhupada himself is, he worked extremely hard, you know, and therefore Prabhupada, this mood of Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada is relating, you can see the relation of Prabhupada, you know, mood actually in so many purposes of this verse, right? And just like Mahaprabhu desired, Prabhupada very intensely desired that these fruits be available to one and all, right? And when people taste it, they will actually become eternally happy, right? Therefore, a devotee should relish these fruits given by Mahaprabhu and give it to for others' benefit also, right? Like that. Okay, so you take a break and we will continue chapter 10. Yes, Prabhu. Sorry.